From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. President Bush strongly defended his handling of the Iraqi war Tuesday in response to mounting criticism from Congress and the American people.
Our mission in Iraq is clear. We're hunting down the terrorists. We're helping Iraqis build a free nation that is an ally in the war on terror. We're advancing freedom in the broader Middle East. We are removing a source of violence and instability and laying the foundation of peace for our children and our grandchildren.
But intractable quagmire are the words Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy used to describe the war at a recent Armed Services Committee hearing. Kennedy also encouraged Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to step down. We spoke with the senator before President Bush's Fort Bragg speech this week. The Democrat contends that a lack of preparation has slowed the progress of U.S.-led forces in Iraq and threatens the success of its mission.
I believe that the administration really doesn't have a plan to bring the American troops home with honor. It seems to me that the president has a responsibility to level with the American people, let them know about the difficulties, the complexities, and then also outline to the American people about how we are going to have a successful and winning strategy in Iraq.
The poll numbers show that the American people are shifting toward the idea that they did not and do not see our involvement in Iraq as a good idea, obviously disappointed in the moves this administration has made. And we have seen a growing number of politicians now shifting, quite frankly, to that end. You, from day one, have been an opponent. I'm curious if at all you were disappointed and felt to some degree oftentimes, even within your own party, as a lone wolf?
Well, as a member of the Armed Services Committee, I listened carefully to the testimony that we took prior to going into war, and it was very interesting and compelling to me that those who had fought in wars before, the military commanders who had been in command and had been in conflict previously, unanimously were opposed to the conflict. The civilian authority, on the other hand, was all bent to go to war. It always seemed to me that the important thing was to keep our eye on what the real threat for American security was, and that was Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. They're the threat to our homeland security and to our secure interests, security interests around the world, and we became completely diverted into an assault and attack on Iraq because the administration misled the American people in convincing them that they had weapons of mass destruction, and secondly, that Iraq was involved in 9/11. And now we know that they didn't have weapons of mass destruction, and they were not involved in 9/11, and we've got ourselves into a very, very dangerous position over there with an unclear policy, and one which is costing us dearly in the lives of American servicemen and the enormous cost in terms of treasure.
Senator, lastly,
the issue now, of course, is how we're going to be able to turn this around, and that's really the central challenge. I don't believe that the administration has announced a clear and effective policy over there, and I think we have to hold the administration accountable for this and try and insist on a policy and one that's going to be successful and permit American troops to come home with honor.
Lastly, on the war, we see the administration marching out Donald Rumsfeld this week. We see Secretary of State Rice this week. And there is the question of how long, even with an exit strategy, we are going to have to be on the ground in Iraq. When you hear the Secretary of Defense talking years, perhaps even a decade or more, what do you say to that?
Well, that's really not acceptable. My wife's got a nephew who's over in Mosul. He's a tail gunner on a striker system. And he had 13 weeks of training, 4 days at Fort Lewis to get his gear, was supposed to get additional training in Kuwait, which he didn't, and sent to Mosul. He's on his second tour over there. We were able to do that. Send these young men, in many instances, with 13, 14 weeks training. Some were able to get additional kinds of training. Obviously, the Marines Special Operation Forces have additional training. Those that are in the Air Force have additional training. But nonetheless, people that are on the ground in many instances have just a few months training. And people in my state ask me, why can't we expect that the Iraqis, now that they've had a vote on the elections, now that they're drafting a constitution, now that they're going to ratify the constitution, it is their country. Shouldn't they be prepared to fight for it? According to Secretary Rumsfeld, they have 160,000 people under arms at the present time. They expect to have 260,000 by next July. It seems to me that at some point they ought to be prepared to defend their country. I think that's what is the requirement. Why they expect the United States and American servicemen to be fighting and dying if they're not prepared to fight and die.
Let me move to a bill, a reform bill, that you and your good friend Senator John McCain have introduced, and it is an immigration reform bill. The bill would allow workers who have been in this country for at least 4 years to apply for permanent citizenship. I'm wondering, A, why you wanted to do this, and B, what you say to critics who suggest that you're really just giving a pass to people who came into this country illegally.
Well, first of all, we are not giving a free pass to anyone. If they've been here, have a work record, and they want to continue to work, we'll give them the opportunity and they can clear the security issues. We'll give them an opportunity to work for 6 years, and then they can start to earn their citizenship, which will take 5 more years. So this is no free pass. No one's breaking into line. There's no automatic pardon. You have to earn your right to be here. That's number one. Secondly, on the issues of immigration, our current system is broken. What John McCain and I have proposed is a new common sense strategy for the 21st century that, one, protects our national security, and two, strengthens our economy, and third, reflects our values. I mean, over the period of these last 5 to 7 years, we've just tried to strengthen our border and build fences down there. We have some 60 miles of fence down there. We spend some $10 to $15 billion in border guards, and we have border guards that are out there highly trained, highly disciplined, highly equipped, chasing people around the desert that are going to be gardeners in some place. And meanwhile, we're not giving focus and attention to those that pose a real national security threat, people that shouldn't be coming in here, that want to do harm to the United States. Our system is broken. We need to have a different system that will provide for an orderly process for people coming into the United States. We'll need to have a beefed up security as well. We have to have both features of it. The current system is an absolutely broken, does not work. And we want a system that America deserves, one that values our immigrant heritage, respect for the rule of law, and lives up to our basic sense of fairness.
Senator, finally, I'm curious how you look at your party, where it stands today. You have, for a long time, been the personification of liberal, particularly of the party's face of that. Many people suggesting that the Democratic Party is just not playing the political game well right now. John Dean has suggested they are taking, for instance, African Americans and their vote for granted, longtime allies, obviously, of this party. I'm curious how you see the state of the Democratic Party today.
Well, of course, the president won the House of Representatives, they won the Senate, and they won the executive. So they have the principal responsibility for dealing with those issues. But it's been the Democrats that have been resisting these judges that have been coming down the line that are strongly opposed to the voting rights, have strongly opposed to civil rights, are strongly opposed to workers' rights. And this administration has been sending those up, and it's been the Democrats that have been out there insisting that people are going to have be committed to the rule of law and to the legislation that we have passed in terms of civil rights and the protection of those individual rights and liberties. And even as we speak now, the Republicans have collected some $18 million and are spending it in anticipation of the next Supreme Court justice. Why are they doing that? Because they want to have a Supreme Court justice that's going to protect the interests of the special interests. and not be one that's going to be the protecting the interests of blacks or browns or workers or our environment. That's what we're facing, and that's what we have to watch very, very carefully about, because this radical right, they want to impeach six of the current Supreme Court justices. They want to impeach Justice Kennedy and Justice O'Connor that were put on the Supreme Court by Ronald Reagan. This is the same crowd that wanted the federal government to get involved in the Schiavo case. There is a very serious threat to the rights and liberties of individuals and to civil rights that is being posed at the present time by this series of judges that this administration is sending through. And we need the help and the assistance of all of our friends to make sure that the judiciary will remain independent. When our founding fathers said they wanted independent, we mean it's going to be independent. Finally, let me say, we're going to have the extension of the Voting Rights Act. That is going to be up in another year and a half. We're going to find out who is on the side of the citizens of this nation and who's committed to it. We cannot get a co-sponsor, Republican co-sponsor, to re-extend the Voting Rights Act. So we're facing a lot of battles up here, and we need help and assistance from all of our friends in this listening audience.
Well, Senator Kennedy, we know it's a busy day for you. We thank you for
thank
your time.
Thank you very, very much.
Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
One note. We've asked a number of Republican senators to join us on this program. To date, none has accepted our invitation.